Good morning again. It's an exciting day. So much hard work, so much energy, so much of a lot of things that have happened in the past years of life. Many of us say we've all been there. To a certain degree, you may have. But I think with social media and some of the internet dynamics, things have shifted a little bit since when we were there. But I'd like to remind us all of a story of a six-year-old boy named Blake who knew the meaning of loving your neighbor. For Blake's first day of school, his mother offered to make him a t-shirt with anything on it he liked. She assumed it would have something to do with basketball or one of his favorite sports. But to her surprise, that was not the case. After thinking about it, Blake asked for a t-shirt that said, "I will be your friend." He went on to explain, "For the kids who need a friend to know that I am there." While most kids are worried about themselves, Blake was looking out for others. We have no doubt the t-shirt and his friendly grin helped a lot of first graders. And I want to remind us today to never underestimate your kid's heart for others. And I see a heart for others in our kids, our youth, and our seniors. Thank you for showing the way, seniors. Your leadership leads and inspires others, whether you know it or not. In Luke, we see a question pop up 2,000 years ago as well on who is your neighbor. Let's read the text. I am going to come out of the New King James Version. Sorry, that's my favorite. I don't know if I disclosed that upon the interview or not. But anyway, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him," this is Jesus, "'you have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live.'" But he wanted to justify himself. So he said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, who stripped him of his clothes, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, he who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Showing mercy is my theme today for the seniors, for the graduates. There's going to be lots of new things happening in your lives. Go and do likewise. Showing mercy to all. And just a side note, kids, show mercy to your parents this summer. This message is meant more of a challenge or a charge or whatever you want to call it to the seniors, but it most certainly applies to me first. Each of us in a different way. I'm always amazed how God puts messages on my heart that first I can learn from. So who is your neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Who are our neighbors? I remember asking this question when I was little. For me, though, we had ice cream socials. I grew up Amish, so we had ice cream socials once per month with our neighbors. So I knew exactly who my neighbors were. Those who showed up at the ice cream socials. It was pretty easy. If you lived a house beyond who showed up at the ice cream social, they were not my neighbors. They must have been neighbors to the next neighbor. I don't know. I'm not sure if they started on here then and they also had ice cream suppers, then here they had. I'm not sure how that worked, but that is very much a physical neighbor. Who is your person, people living next to you? In verse 37, we see a different explanation. He who showed mercy is your neighbor. With the youth a few weeks ago, I should have them share, but we talked about going camping, how each item you take camping has a purpose. At least, maybe if you go glamping, you have more things than you need. I don't know. But anyway, a flashlight is a light in the darkness in case you need it. A poker stick is for sword fights. I mean, roasting hot dogs. A sleeping bag is to keep you warm. But that's, each thing has a purpose. Each thing is meant for something. Just like our seniors. Each senior, each student, but with the focus being on seniors, each senior has a purpose. Sometimes we get to do what we want, what God has put in our hearts from a very early age. Sometimes we go to school, we achieve what we desire to achieve, and we're in our profession for the rest of our lives. Other times, we don't get so lucky. But what I want to challenge you, regardless of your going into directly what you're going into, if that's your dream or not, there are going to be obstacles in your way. Those obstacles are there for a reason. Those obstacles are there to test you. Those obstacles are there to grow you. Do not look at them as blockages. Look at them as, what is God trying to teach us? Your purpose is going to keep evolving. The greater the purpose, the greater the preparation. If God has a plan for you to impact thousands of lives, you gotta prepare. It's not just gonna happen that everything just falls into place. There's got to be some resistance. There's got to be some teaching involved. Amber, is there anything involved in being a nurse? Exactly. Like, you can't just get up and, I'm going to go take care of people. Well, the smile and the attitude might be half the battle, but you got to know how to react. You got to know how to act. Simon, you're going to have to take training. It's not something you can just pick up and go, and you're ready to go. Kendall, you know everything you need to know, right? Oh, shucks. There's training. This life is a lifelong of training in different areas of your life. God puts those interests in our hearts, and they will show up. But He will also show up. And when things get hard, you got to trust Him. He's got you. I want us to consider the Jewish man that was robbed in Luke here, the Samaritan, stripped and left half dead. And I don't know if this is a parable as to whether it actually happened or not is irrelevant. But work with me for a second here in thinking it did happen. A priest would have been Jewish, and a Levite, a descendant of Levi, thus also making him Jewish. And the Levite would have been a pure descendant of Abraham, people of honor and respect. If those types of people don't stop to help, who is going to? They left him half dead. What's wrong with this picture? I'm sure they must have been on their way to a very important meeting or something. I mean, why else would important people leave somebody half dead? Or were they too important in their heads to help? A Samaritan, which was of mixed ethnicity back then, that was who they were, and in those days there was visible hatred between the two groups. The mixed Samaritans wanted nothing to do with the Jews, and the Jews nothing to do with the Samaritans. Sure glad none of that exists here, does it? Maybe not so much in Arthur, but here in the United States. And maybe not Jewish and mixed Jewish, but we have plenty of other differences, don't we? Are we part of the fix to unite? Or are we still judging people by color, by race, by their clothes, by their car, by their house, by their jobs? The point of this parable is not what type of people have compassion, but what type of a heart has compassion. Ever hear of the expression, what goes in the heart comes out? What goes in the brain comes out? What do you think is this Jewish man's perspective now regarding Samaritans after he quite possibly saved his life? Is he going to think twice about the relationship with the Samaritans, or is there only one good Samaritan and that was the one that helped him? We all have good in us. We all have God in us. I don't think he will go back to disliking Samaritans. But what he does with this lesson in life now is one of the challenges I want us to think about. When we have somebody do something to us, what are you going to do with that? I keep telling my boys, you cannot control the people around you. You can only control the attitude of how you react. See, those are the radical changes Jesus was making on this earth. His focus wasn't on curing everyone and everything, but he was making radical changes. Are we radically changing, or are we lukewarm? Seniors, as you spend more time outside of Arthur and encounter lots of different people, people are going to treat you differently. Sometimes, especially because they know you're a Christian. So who are our neighbors. It's everyone we impact. Whether in the guard, at college, at work, playing sports, lunch, class, weekends, with family, summer vacation, the list goes on. It's those you impact. It's those who are around you. Seniors have grown and are moving on to the next step in life on this earth. I'm excited to see the fruit that they will produce, what lives they will touch, how you will affect those around you, your neighbors, and how, the key is how. How will you impact them? Are they going to keep walking away, not changed after they meet you? Or do they want what you've got? How are they going to be impacted? We only get one shot at this life. And quite often we only get one shot at the impression of how we impact others. And that's usually about a 10-second shot. How will that be reflected? How will you be remembered? There's so much bullying on social media, and then we expect the teachers to squash it among grade school kids. These kids see it at home, they see it on the news, they see it in social media, if they have access to it. And quite often they hear about it from adults. If you don't get the laundry done, I'll kill you. Okay, maybe not that extent, but that's an example of what the language that we use around us, and the kids hear that. They're listening. Those ears are listening. Proverbs 15:1 through 4 in the NIV. I snuck in an NIV here. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. The Message Bible reads it like this: a gentle response diffuses anger, but a sharp tongue kindles a temper fire. Knowledge flows like spring water from the wise. Fools are leaky faucets, dripping nonsense. God doesn't miss a thing. He's alert to good and evil alike. Kind words heal and help. Cutting words maim. Are we a drippy faucet? When we come into contact with people around us that don't look like us, that don't respond like us, that don't look like us, maybe physical, or just they're just different, how do we react? Luke 10:27. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Sorry, that was gotcha. Okay, I keep seeing that's still 27, but thank you. So that was 10:27. And then, to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. So, Jesus will be the ultimate judge. There's no need for us to decide what is fair. It's not our job to decide what's fair. It's not our job to decide what's right, according to God's word. Our job is easy, simply to love. Oops. It's not always easy. But that's what was asked of us. With time and patience, there's a lot that can be learned and practiced. God is still working on me. I'm a work in progress, hopefully. But going back to the parable, so we can use our minds and come up with wonderful reasons as to why the priest or the Levite would not have stopped to help the man. But the bottom line is, we have to ask ourselves, what would I have done? What would I do today? We can justify our actions on earth and make excuses, even blame others for the situations we are in, but ultimately, it becomes our problem. Answering to God in heaven someday. There won't be excuses then for God, because he'll see right through it. He will not take your excuses. You won't have time for that. Some of us carry our excuses from our past or from our family. But that's all it is. It's an excuse. God's love is an incredible love. It's easy to love those that agree with us. But the real test is, do you love those that don't? And God loves all his children. So why do we have to love people who hate me? Galatians 5:15. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. God is love. So if we are showing love, we are extending God's grace. God will judge. Let him do the judging. You show the light. Where you are, and let the Holy Spirit take care of the rest. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can lead people to Christ, but you can't make them accept and change their life. Share the love of Jesus. Holy Spirit will take it from there. For our seniors, graduates, you're moving out. Well, maybe not specifically out of Arthur, but you're moving into the next phase. And you will be traveling more. You have a much broader field of who your neighbors are. You're not just in high school anymore. You have a much greater, and I know Amber's already had a greater area of people already in her life. But I'm challenging you today to be open to seeing who your neighbors are. Seeing your neighbors for who they are and not where they are. But where they are going. How can you help each other? Get to know those around you. Those that are struggling financially and you have the ability to manage finances, or you can help by advising of how you got through this financial crisis, or others and how others in your family have survived. Help them. Be a blessing. Bless those around you. People who are viewing themselves as less than who you know that they are. In other words, low self-esteem, dealing with depression, seeing their life as a mess. Be a blessing. Help them where you can. Be a cheerleader. Be a light. That's going to make a huge difference, even if you do not realize it. Those who are struggling with an illness, be at their side when you can. But most importantly, be a prayer warrior. Be that light again that shines in the darkness. Being cooped up or sick can take the will out of people. But a song or an encouraging word, a smile, can do much healing. People going through hard times, loss of a loved one, illness, medical diagnosis, broken relationships, loss of income, loss of house, car, reach out a hand. Even if all you can do to help them is to give them a smile and a word of encouragement, that's going to be big. You never know who needed that. Olivia, you never needed an encouragement, did you? We all do. It's not just for the seniors. We all do. It makes a big difference in our lives who you have cheering you on. And it doesn't cost a dime. I think back of the time when one of my sons was in the hospital. The nurse cracked a joke. I didn't get the joke. This is not a diss on nurses at all. What I'm saying is I did not get the joke because I was not in a good place to receive anything. Much later, that joke is very funny now. I'm glad Issa remembered it because I didn't get it at the time because I was too busy being down and I was only in a spot where I could not see beyond myself. So often that's what happens when we are not in a good place. We get to this place where we can only see tunnel vision. So just a kind word, somebody coming along, making a joke, but a kind word goes a long ways in helping that person get out of their tunnel vision. Now looking back, like I said, I can appreciate it. But listen to Holy Spirit. If Holy Spirit is telling you not to crack a joke, you probably shouldn't do that. But it can affect you to where you can remember it down the road, and it's a positive thing. All of this to say, when you are in the midst of difficulties, we call stuff. It's more than just stuff to the other person. We see somebody going through stuff, and we might label it, but it's their stuff. It's where they're at in their life. It's the harsh realities of today, of a me, me, me society. Sometimes we are where we are because of our own choices. And those that keep holding us down, sometimes it's God saying, wait, stop, hang on. I've got something bigger for you. You're only looking at where you want to go. I've got something bigger, and we can't see it. Reach out a hand. Help somebody out. We cannot just be the center, which is ourselves. I know God is with Amber. God is with Simon. God is with Kendall. He's got you guys. Matthew 28:16-20, Jesus says, I will be with you until when? To the end of the age. That is a long time. Jesus will be with you, Amber. Jesus will be with you, Simon. Jesus will be with you, Kendall, till the end of the age. You are disciples of Jesus. Remember whose you are. Love is an action. And it shows in your heart. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Always remember, you're braver than you believe, stronger than you seem, smarter than you think, and loved more than you know. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gift of seniors, their leadership. Thank you for their leadership that they have served. The schools that have seen them grow, the parents that have seen them grow, the grandparents. Such an honor to see your children grow and be vibrant. God, thank you for each one of these. Your love has shown clearly that they are your child. They are a child of God. As they go, bless them, be with them, and always let them know, even when they are tired and when they feel they can go no more, let them know you will carry them as you have for so many others. Your word is our rock. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are today, tomorrow, and to the end of the age. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.